you're not where you're at, where you want to be right now, it's because you're not willing to look in the mirror and accept extreme personal responsibility, because you are where you are because of the choices, decisions, and habits that you have. Raise your hand if you came here to learn how to convert more leads. By show of hands. No alligator arms, lift them up high. You're at Conversion Con. There we go. Cool. Those of you that raised your hand, you probably came here looking for a shiny object. Something that is that magic bullet that will change everything in your business. That next lead source, the next tech stack, that next thing, that one thing that will change everything. I've got the shiny object for you. I guess you write this down. The shiny object that you need, not the one that you want, it's called a freaking mirror. If you're not where you're at, where you want to be right now, it's because you're not willing to look in the mirror and accept extreme personal responsibility, because you are where you are because of the choices, decisions, and habits that you have, period. That being said, let's get started. All right, I'm gonna start with the quality of the lead is determined by the will and the skill of the agent. I'm gonna say it again. The quality of the lead is determined by the skill and the will of the agent. Some of you may say, who is this guy? He already yelled at me. What does he know? Think about this. How many of you have sold a house in the last 12 months? Raise your hands. Awesome. That one, 10, 100, 1,000, 5,000, however many homes you sold in the last 12 months, how many of those leads do you think are in someone else's database? What do you think that agent thinks about that lead? That's a bad lead. You sold them a house. You had better skill and better will. So if that is true, this is also true. There are no bad leads. There's just bad agents. Did you guys hear those phone calls yesterday? Those recorded phone calls? Anyone else cringe? Those agents aren't in this room, and they are sitting there complaining, whining about how, if I had better leads, I'd sell more real estate. If the interest rates were better, maybe my business would be better. I want to encourage you. We've heard from up here over and over and over again how times are challenging right now. I want you to open your eyes and realize they're not challenging if you hold up that shiny object called the mirror and you work on yourself. You have the will or the willingness to do the work required, which is how you build the skill. Then you will convert leads at a high level. There are no bad leads, just bad agents. I think agents are entitled. I am one. I have been entitled before. What do I mean agents are entitled? I think we have the wrong expectations of what this industry is and what it is not, especially on the back of the pandemic marketplace. So if you don't believe me, let me tell you a quick story. So I'm a team leader, and 3-4 years ago, an agent joined my organization. She came in about 90 days. She came to me and said, Matt, this isn't gonna work. So we had an exit interview, and I asked her, she said, it's just not what I expected. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. What did you expect? What was different? True story. Well, I thought I would get my real estate license. I would sit at Starbucks, I'd have my name tag on, bring out my laptop, and people would come up to me and say, oh, you're an agent? You wanna sell your house? I wanna sell my house, can you help me? She's like, but you're asking me to like call people, and I have to build sales skills, and I have to meet with strangers and convince them that I should work with them? That's just not for me. We all laugh, because that's a crazy example, true story. But what is your version of that you're lying to yourself about? All of us have an entitlement, and we think these leads are the problem. I'm gonna start with mindset. Number one, I'm gonna get tactical with you guys, but I want you to stay with me on this journey. If you don't adjust your mindset around lead conversion, you will never convert leads at the level that you could. So what is a lead and what is not a lead? A lead is very, very simple. Agents' expectations of a lead. Let's go back to those calls from yesterday. What do you think those agents expect in a lead? Mind you, those were direct connect leads. that said, yes, I want to talk to a real estate agent. Their phone rings with a person that wants to talk to them about real estate. And they're still sitting, not in this room, but they're sitting somewhere, maybe out of the business, saying that was a bad lead. Or they're saying, well, that wasn't really a lead because they weren't interested in buying or selling. Since when did a lead become somebody that's ready, willing, and able to buy a house today? When did we get that false expectation in reality? That entitled attitude is not going to serve you. Another thing, and I heard this on the stage yesterday. No disrespect, everybody did phenomenal, but I think we need to adjust our language. I think words matter. None of you in this room make cold calls. What's a cold call? Let me get a phone book, let me call through the A's, then the B's, then the C's. That's a cold call. All of you make warm calls. But again, we're entitled. Well, that's not a lead. They said they were just looking. Last time I checked, I'm just looking for people who are just looking for real estate. So we make warm calls. So what are warm calls? What is a lead? It's a hand raiser. All of you have people that are visiting your website, right? They raised their hand. They opted in to say, I want to see more pictures of this property. I'm curious what the price is. They calculated a mortgage. They saved a property. They did some sort of activity to say, hey, I'm interested. So let's adjust our mindset. If you have kids that are going to, say they're starting baseball season, and you walk in with your kids to a shoe store, you know you need baseball cleats for your kid. You walk in, ding dong, what does the clerk say? How can I help you? What do we say every single time? You walked into their shoe store. You know what you need, you know what size, you know what brand, you know how much you're gonna spend, but you're just looking. Guys, these people are in your store. Adjust your mindset and your conversion will go through the roof. Open houses, think about this. And I think somebody mentioned this yesterday. I think it was Greg on sign calls. If they come to an open house, they actually put the good clothes on, not their Walmart clothes, right? They put the good clothes on, they got in the car, they drove through the neighborhood, they saw a house that had a sign in the yard, they know there's a real estate agent in the house, and they still walk in anyway. But that's not a good lead. They weren't interested. You guys should write this down. I don't believe what people say, I believe what they do. What did their actions tell me? We've all heard actions speak louder than words, right? What are the actions of these leads telling you? And if you can't get past these sales skepticism problems, these are not objections, these are sales skepticism, you will never convert leads at the level that you should. I don't care what leads they are. And so I want you to realize that bad news is, some of you, myself included, we're the problem. Good news is, we're also the solution. And so if we adjust our mindset and we adjust our expectations around these things, we can convert leads at a high level. Expireds. Well, expireds don't work. They're not. That's a bad lead, Matt, that expired listing you gave me. We know they own a home. We know they want to sell it, and they did not succeed. It doesn't get much better than that. You guys see what I'm saying? We're the problem. You guys with me? Oh, that's terrible. You guys with me?
Yes.
There we go. All right, this is an equation. You guys should take a picture of this, and I'll explain what this means. When I started my organization, I said, I don't want our organization to sell people. I want to help people. People don't want to be sold. I want to help them. So anytime in our organization, we would correct someone if they said, hey, we're going to sell this or sell that. That was a cuss word in our organization. We corrected them. You mean you were going to help them. We did that for years and years and years. Here's the problem. In this new market, people still don't want to be sold. People don't even need your help in this marketplace. They need you to lead them through the process. Stop being a helper and start being a leader. When you do that, your business will change. All right, we're here to talk about lead conversion. I'm just gonna get some stuff out of the way. None of you have a lead generation problem. How many of you want more sales by show of hands? No alligator arms, lift them up. We all want to sell more real estate. That's why you're here, right? Well, if you don't have enough sales, what do we all think we need? Not enough sales, we need more what? But when do more leads equal more sales? When? We're shooting at the wrong target. More leads don't equal more sales. It's the conversion of the leads that matter. So you don't have a lead generation problem, you have a lead conversion problem. Now that we know the problem is, let's solve it. In order to convert leads, you need to understand the psychology of the buyers and sellers. It's a big word, but you need to understand the behavior of the people. They're just humans that are looking to buy or sell real estate. So let's break that down. First and foremost, scripts don't work. Just a fact. Should there be talk tracks? Should there be dialogues? Should there be things to remind you? Are there strategies? Are there tactics? Absolutely. But outdated sales scripts do not work because you're reading from a page instead of having a conversation with a human. You can have the best script on the planet, and I'm going to give you some scripts today, but if you don't get this part, the script won't work. The conversation that you have with a human is 95% of the problem. Spend 95% building relationship and having a conversation with the human on the other end of the phone, and only 5% in your sales script. The conversation, if you have the best script on the planet, but you don't have a great conversation, it's not gonna work. But if you have a terrible script and you have a great conversation, there's still a chance, right? So focus on the conversation, not the script. We're trying to solve the wrong problem. So what makes a great sales conversation? Get rid of the word sales. I think in today's society, we forgot how to have a conversation with a human. How do you build a relationship and rapport and build trust with a human? We forgot how. I'm gonna break it down for you. You guys should take a picture of this. I say this quote all the time. If you make a friend, you make a sale. Pretty simple. Stop trying to sell people. Start being friendly. Build a conversation, build a relationship. If you make a friend, you make a sale. Have you ever made a friend that was a lead that came in and you didn't sell them something? Very rare. But the clients that if I asked you, hey, who are your five favorite clients you've ever worked with, you probably have them on speed dial, you're their best friends. They probably send you referrals all the time. You know why? You had a conversation, you built a relationship with that human. Make a friend, and then the sales will come. So how do you make a friend? You gotta build rapport and trust. I'm gonna go through this quickly. How do you build rapport and trust? This is simple stuff, guys, but I just wanna break this down so we understand. You gotta show genuine, authentic interest. Are you genuinely interested in them? Are you being authentically you? Are you putting your mask on and trying to sell them something? Find common ground, pretty simple. Make the conversation feel natural and personal. Mirror and match energy and tone. That's a big one. Mirror and match energy and tone. I think great salespeople are chameleons. You have to be careful, you still be authentic and be genuine, but if someone talks really slow and really soft, and you come in talking like an auctioneer, it's not gonna work. These things matter in the conversion of leads. You can't build rapport and trust with someone if you don't mirror and match their energy and tone. Active listening. Active listening. Not pretending to listen. Active listening with empathy. You have to actually understand their problems, their pain. Uncover their real needs, their desires, their pain points. People buy because of two things. Pain or pleasure. They're moving away from pain or they're moving towards pleasure. Do you know that for the person that you're working with? Pretty simple, right? This is simple, but so many agents miss this. Acknowledge their concerns. Have you guys ever listened to a call? Maybe you've been a part of a call where you felt like you were fighting against the person on the phone, fighting against, it was you versus them. Here's my analogy that I use. So I'm from Missouri, and in Missouri we have fences and neighborhoods, and it's like one fence separates the two neighbors. And so in a sales conversation, there's a fence separating you and the prospect in this situation. Instead of arguing back and forth over the fence and playing this weird tennis match, what if you just open the gate, walk around, I'm on your side of the fence here, I got you. I'm here to work with you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to lead you. Quit arguing with your prospects. You need to acknowledge their concerns. Their concerns and their perception is what really matters. What you say does not matter. What they hear is everything. Listen to understand versus listening to reply. You guys have heard this over and over again, but too many times, and I'm guilty of this too. They say something, I want to interrupt because I have this big zinger that I want to interrupt and tell them. But that's about us. That's ego. That's not about helping them. Listen to understand versus listen to reply. You guys should take a picture of this communication circle. I need to get a better graphic of that. But this is how people receive communication. If you want to build relationships with people, you want to sell, you want to convert, you need to understand this. John talks about copy, and copy is important, it's crucial. But when you're on the phone with someone, is the script the most important part? Not a chance. If you don't believe me, so the words that you say in a conversation with someone are only 7% of the equation. That means there's 93% chance they're going to misunderstand or misinterpret what you're trying to deliver. You don't believe me? Have you ever got a text from someone? It could be your significant other, it could be your friend, it could be someone. And you're like, what in the hell? Why is Jordan mad at me? And I go and call Jordan. He's like, hey, what's up, man? I have the best conversation ever. I'm like, dude, what was up with that text? He's like, what are you talking about? Does that ever happen? How many times has it happened with your prospects? You're trying to sell through text messages. 38% is your tonality. The tonality that you have. That's why, again, you mirror and match their tone. So that's only 45% of the equation, by the way. That's why phone calls are better than text. That's why you can sell better. It's because you have 45% chance of delivering your message. You can share your excitement, your energy way better over the phone with your tonality than you can through a text. But the biggest one of the circle is your body language. What have you heard over and over and over again? Video text. What I like to say is you got to get face-to-face with people. Belly button to belly button. I looked up the stat, and it's actually increased. I looked it up this morning, according to the AI that gave me the answer. 71% of homebuyers work with the first agent they meet in person. It used to be 67%. 71%. Why is that? Does that mean that all those agents are good? They're just first. And they have a 100% shot versus you sending outdated emails that you don't even know what they say or text messages as templates because you're automating yourself versus them having a 100% chance of having the conversation, right? So again, a reminder, you don't have a lead generation problem, you have a lead conversion problem. Here's another problem that we have. You guys have too many leads. You don't believe me? I did this with my organization, and I was talking to a couple people that I highly respect out in the hall, and we just cut all of our lead spend in half on everything that we do. We have enough leads in our database. We just need to convert them better. We don't need new leads. What's more valuable, a new lead that comes in that is just in the curiosity phase, or a lead that came in 18 months ago that comes back and revisits the site? Which one's more valuable? Then why do we care about new leads? Now, I'm not saying you don't need new leads, but for perspective, you guys with me? We misprioritize that we need new leads. New leads don't equal more sales. We've already established that. Too many leads also dilute the ability for you to build quality relationships and follow up effectively. I learned this from Alec Cheplak. More isn't better. More is not always better. More leads we think equals more sales, but in reality, we all agree it does not. But better is always better. So how can you have better conversion? How can you have better conversations? How can you build better relationships with the people that already know, like, and trust you? Sounds really, really simple, but it works. I'll show you proof in a minute. Make sure you go deep, not wide. Too many of us spread wide, and we throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. You need to have depth of relationship. You need to understand your business. You need to understand your lead generation. You need to understand your lead conversion. You need to go deep on those things. You can't do it all. I'll just tell you, my business included, everybody up here, if you just had an honest conversation, they would tell you that they feel like their business is an absolute shit show. But we think in the crowd that, hey, the people on stage have everything together. We don't. We're human. We're not perfect. But there are a few things that we obsess over and we have mastered and we have gotten better and better and better because we realize we can't solve all the problems, but we can solve the most pressing one. I think you guys are here to solve the problem of converting leads, right? So go deep on those things, not wide. Here's an example. Greg, phenomenal masterclass yesterday on seller lead conversion. I've been focusing on my business for about 18 months, and he just completely overhauled everything that I'm doing. I'm with him. I'm all in on that. But a study that I learned when I was on this journey is that 5% of your database will list their home in the next 12 months. By show of hands, how many of you have 10,000 or more leads in your database? Cool. I know some of you in the room didn't raise your hands. You don't want to participate. That's cool. I know you have more than 10,000. But my point being is, well, we need more seller leads, so we need more listings. 5% of the people you already have, you've already paid for, you've already marketed to, you've already probably had conversations with, are going to list their home in the next 12 months. Last time I checked, that's 500 listings. Why do we need more seller leads? Why don't we re-engage the people that we already have? Real estate's a contact sport. Too many people are just scared to meet with people or scared to get hung up on, or why don't want to bug them. 71% of people or home buyers work with the first agent to meet in person. And most of those agents, they're not in this room, they're probably not learning. They're probably people like we heard on those phone calls, right? They're still getting the business because they're getting out of their comfort zone and they're meeting with them face to face. Growth is uncomfortable. This market is uncomfortable. It's a contact sport. You got to get face to face. Or like I like to say, and I was going to do a picture, but they were just all gross, so I didn't do it, but belly button to belly button. I was actually Googling that in the back of the room yesterday. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. But you got to belly button with buyers and sellers, right? Face to face. Have a conversation. All right. This right here is everything you need to know on how to convert leads. If you don't take a picture of this, I can't help you. This is a sophisticated communication framework that will crush your outdated script every single time. I could spend 3 hours going over this. I'll give you scripts, I'll give you dialogues, I'll give you tactical things, but if you don't understand this at depth, the scripts won't matter. So how do you have a sophisticated communication framework? Number one, seek first to understand, then be understood. Seek first to understand, then be understood. My 7-year-old daughter knows that, she learns it in school, but somehow we forget it as salespeople. We want to throw our agenda down their throat. It's not about us, it's about them. Every human being on the planet operates on the same radio frequency, WIFM. What's in it for me? We all do. We're all selfish beings. So if we know that's a fact, why do we tell them how good we are instead of ask them what is important to them? What are your pains? What are your pleasures? Seek first to understand, then be understood. Number two, handle objections in advance. Rookies wait for objections. Pros handle them in advance. Let me give you an example. Used to be just on sellers, but it's in buyers in today's society as well, because you got to have an agreement with everyone you meet with. How many agents, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because you're going to lie, but most agents are scared to death to ask them this question that is so powerful. Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I'm just curious. Are you going to be interviewing other agents for this job? Oh my God, you might plant the seed. They hadn't thought about it before until I brought it up. Come on. But if you say that with confidence and you know, and if they do want to interview other agents and you're not the best fit, do you really deserve that business anyway? Are you doing this for you or to help people? Quality of the lead is determined by the skill and the will of the agent. And if you're scared to compete, you should probably look at that shiny object called the mirror. Number three, base your next question on their response. Listen to understand versus listening to reply. I can give you the best script on the planet, but if you don't understand this one, there's not much I can do to help. This is why scripts don't work, because people want to read from top to bottom. But do conversations always go from A to B to C? Sometimes they go from A to X to Z, back to C. You got to base your next question on their response. Does that say base your next shitty sales line based upon what they say? No. Base your next question on their response. There's a simple framework that everyone should follow. I didn't put it in the slide, but it just popped in my head. You guys should write it down. Answer, ask, and then acknowledge ask. You want to build a conversation with someone? Answer their question, ask another question, acknowledge what they said, ask another question. Number four. Allow them to be the hero of their own story. It's not about us. There's way too much ego in this business. We want to tell people how good we are. I'll give you a quick story. There was an agent that joined me. She actually joined me as a listing coordinator. She came from another company, a competitor in the marketplace that was really high-producing broker. And she worked for her for years and years and years. And she came to join our organization. And she shadowed me on the first listening appointment, day one, when she joined. And I was on the listening appointment. And afterwards, I asked her, I said, how did it go? What'd you think? She said, well, number one, it was really good, but I'm confused. I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, you guys, we've been number one in the area year after year. You have this, you have this. She named all the things of why she joined our organization. She said, you didn't mention any of that in the listing presentation. I said, because it's not about me. It's about her. I said, did she sign the listing contract? She said, oh, yeah, it went great. I said, well, what did you expect? She's like, I don't know. My previous company, they just went in and showed a ranking sheet and said, hey, I sell more houses in your neighborhood than anyone else. So list with me. I said, and who do you think would have won if we were competing? Because I built a relationship with the human. Allow them to be the hero of their own story. Remove your ego. You are the guide. They are the hero. Number five, great salespeople ask great questions. Really simple. Guys, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should be listening twice as much as you're talking. Self-discovery is the number one way to get a human being to make a choice and to take action. You don't get a star because you know the answer to the test. You should be three or four steps ahead in the conversation anyway with a sophisticated communication framework. You should know where the conversation is going because guess what? You're leading them down the path. And instead of you saying the answer that you know, what if they say it? Which one's more powerful? Because if they say it, they actually hear it. I spent a lot of time here because this, guys, this is good. Cool. The quality of the lead is determined by the will and the skill of the agent. I think a lot of us work on accident. Skill plus will equals success. Nobody can deny that. No one can prove that wrong. If you build the skill and you have the will to make it happen, you will make it happen in this business, period. But it starts with the will. The will to do the work, the will to be open-minded, the will to be coachable. Too many of us shrink down with our ego and we don't allow people to actually coach or guide us. And through your will, through the action, you will actually build the skill. I coach a lot of agents and I bring a lot of new agents into my organization, and so many people struggle with this, paralysis by analysis. Well, once I learn more, then I'll do more. We have it backwards. Where does real learning happen? It happens in the field. You learn by doing, not by watching. You have to do to actually learn. So if you don't have the will, you will never build the skill. All right, shift your mindset. Is it an objection or is it just sales skepticism? I kind of hinted at this earlier, but guys, just looking is not an objection. You guys with me on that? All right, if you're just looking, I'm looking for you. Thank you for opting in. Oh, where's Travis? Is he in the room? Travis is great. They're actually in my database, and they're phenomenal. But LP Mama. Raise your hand if you've heard of LP Mama before. Awesome. I think it's great, but I also think it's broken. Oh, there's Travis. What's LP Mama stand for, Travis?
Agent.
But I think LP Mama is broken. And so this really clicked with me. John says all the time, and the event staff was probably mad at me. I sent them my slide deck 8 o'clock last night. But it's because I want to be real and relevant. I want to have a pulse with the audience. I wanted to digest what happened in this room yesterday and what's happening in my organization, what's happening with my coaching clients, so I can give you the most relevant data. And if I prepare this a month in advance, it's not going to be relevant anymore. This industry moves quickly, right? So one of the things that we did recently is we had an objection battle. We were doing our business planning for next year for our organization, and we had our teams come together. It's like NCAA tournament style. We got a championship belt, and make it fun, right? It's agent versus agent handling objections. And they were going through the LP Mama framework. And it just reminded me of the importance of asking great questions during LP Mama. Number one, on location. It's very simple, guys. There's three things that matter in real estate. What are they? Location, location, and location. Is it important for you to know what area they're looking to buy in? But too many of us actually struggle with this. We make assumptions. Even if you already know, it's better that you ask. Just reaffirm it. And so how do you have I'm going to go a little deeper on this. How you ask these questions is super important. So it's not just, oh, what area are you looking to buy in? What area are you looking at? Like, there's so many, like, different, these little words matter. And so Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, I see that you're looking in X area, X neighborhood, X city. I'm curious, is that the only area that you're looking to buy in? Powerful words in there. You guys ever worked with a renter before on accident? If you ask that question, it weeds them out. You ever went to a place, and I don't know about you, but we have cities that are in different states that they register for. We think that we're meeting at the same address, the same house, and they're three states over. Right? Like, these things matter. Price is easy. We'll get to motivation in a minute. But back to this framework, LP Mama is broken, and we adjusted it. LP Ma'am. Maybe I'm wrong for this. I don't know. LP Mama has been around for a long time, so who am I to reinvent the wheel? But it works really, really well for us. Where do agents get stuck? Asking about the mortgage question because they're hesitant. They had one person bite their head off 3 years ago, and they'll never forget it. They got PTSD about this one person that didn't want to talk to a lender. Number one, because we don't have the skill set to handle that conversation. And number two, because we're throwing obstacles and barriers in the way that we don't need to. Let's remove those out of the way. What's the most important part of the conversation? It's the appointment. You get belly button to belly button, right? And so skip over the mortgage part. Go location, talk about price, talk about their motivation, their timeline, ask them if they're working with another agent, then set the appointment. After you set the appointment, here's the magic question. I almost forgot, Antoine, before we go. Every seller in today's market is going to want to know, will you be paying cash or do you need help obtaining financing? It changes the psychology of everything. They've already committed to meet with you. And who wants to know if they're pre-qualified? Is it me? The sellers in today's market. All right. 80% of your conversation in that script should be spent on the motivation. Nothing else matters. I said location matters. Okay, location matters too. But we get stuck finding the perfect property. Guys, if you don't believe me on this, let me give you a quick framework. Here's a story that you can use. Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, if I were to give you an unlimited budget, any location in the world, you could build your dream property. I want you to close your eyes and envision it. Like I take them through this on this journey. Can you see yourself? What does the bedroom look like? What is the view? What is this? What is that? You see your furniture in there. You got it? Awesome. Now I want you to picture you and your family moving in. I have one question to you as you walk in. How long is it before you find something about that property you don't like? You know what the answer always is? First day. All right, so we can agree the perfect property doesn't exist. Stop getting stuck on the perfect property. That's what rookies do. Stop it. The motivation, because the heart chooses and the mind justifies. Talk to the emotional being. Quit getting stuck in the logical brain. This is my superhero question. We already established that the close is the most important part, right? So after you go through LP Mama, LP Ma'am, here's how you get to the close. We've already established rapport. We followed all the framework that we've gotten to this point. You guys with me? Right? This isn't just reading outdated script. This is going through everything you've learned so far. And you get to the appointment. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I was wondering, what are the next steps that you need to take to buy a home? You know what they say 99% of the time? That's a good question. I don't know. Why do I call it a superhero question? Now, instead of fighting against them, they have realized, oh shit, maybe I need this person's help. I don't know what to do next. Put on your superhero cape. No worry, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I got you. That's what I'm here for. I'm so glad we're on the phone today. I will help you with that next step. What works better for you, Monday or Tuesday at 3? Just tease it up. It is absolute gold. All right, here's some rock star closes. I'm gonna go through this quick, I'm out of time. Alternative choice close. Quit asking them what works for them. What works better, A or B? That's exactly why we should meet. You get an objection, conversation, they keep giving you objections, just flip it on them. Some weird objection that makes no sense, has no relevance. Well, that's exactly why we should meet. What works better for you? It's a great question, it's exactly why we should meet. And this one I learned from Bill Pipes. Would it be crazy? I don't know, would it be crazy if we sat down for 15 minutes and had a strategy session? It started on the list, but sometimes it works. All right, fortunes in the follow-up. I learned this from Brian Danny. How good was he yesterday, right? Brian's amazing. Learned this from him. When you're following up with someone, why do we just chase and follow up? The fortune's in the follow-up. You have scheduled weekly follow-ups to stay connected and build relationships over time. Scheduled weekly follow-ups. When you're in a follow-up with Brian Danny, guess what you have? He showed me. You have a running time every single week on his calendar that he's meeting with you. Why do you think he converts so high? They know when they're meeting with him every single week. What do they talk about? His whole conversation, or his whole presentation was around this. Next steps. Next steps. Next steps. Too many of us are just sending properties and hoping, sending and praying, sending and praying. Number one, this too is so important. 25 to 35 or more, depending on your area, your database, et cetera, contact attempts per lead are necessary for conversion. Until you've reached out 35 times, don't throw in the towel yet. That's through multiple channels. That's call, text, email, right? But guys, that's what it takes to convert leads. That's because of the market. It's not because of anything else. And so are you willing to do that with all the leads that you get? Again, the entitled agent says, well, I called the agent a lead, they didn't answer. Really? It's just crazy. And then you always have very, very clear next steps. Whoever wants to build a predictable and scalable business, show of hands. Some of you don't, cool. Try it again. Show of hands, predictable and scalable. Those are the two things you should be looking for, right? Well, we're in real estate, you can't do those things. Bullshit, yes you can. Predictability comes from relationships, follow-up, follow-through, and knowing your numbers. I'm not giving you anything sexy here. I'm just giving you things that work. So what numbers should you track? How many conversations are you having? What we track is 2 minutes or more. How many appointments have you set? How many appointments have you met? How many have you signed? How many are under contract? How many are closed? Pretty simple stuff. But if you don't know that stuff, you're not running a business. You're not building on purpose, you're building on accident. Why is that important? You find the area that you have a gap in, and that's where you can grow. I believe you can't improve what you do not measure. If you don't measure it, you can't improve it. Here's an example. We were doing our two-day offsite business planning for 2025. By the way, leaders in the room, if you don't know your 2025 plan yet, you're behind. You better get to it. It's already started. But I found a gap in our business. We have all these metrics for the last 6 years of our company. And what I found was our appointment set to close ratio, which I'm skipping steps, right? But I analyze it from different angles, had dropped significantly year after year after year after year. So much so, it was just a little bit each year, so I didn't think nothing of it. But over 4 years' time, in the last 4 years, we lost $4 million in GCI to our company from that metric. That's with no more leads, no more conversations, setting no more appointments. $4 million if we just convert those appointments to closings like we have before. Like we've already proven that we can. It's the importance of knowing your numbers. Guess what one of our focuses is for 2025? Getting that 4 million, right? I think a lot of people mistake this. Database management versus pipeline management. This is just my simple definition. Manage your databases lead to appointment, but pipeline management is what I just talked about, is appointment to close. You have to manage them separately. Here are just some screenshots that we track for our agents. And these are a couple of my agents that are doing really, really well this year. Just different examples. But just so you know, every agent has this. So I have this as a company. I have it for every agent. This is through the first three quarters of the year. This agent has sold, let's do the math, 46 homes for the first three quarters of the year. His conversation and appointment set rate is 20%. Pretty good, right? You think these sales tactics and strategies I'm sharing with you may work? Here's another one. This girl's just a workhorse. We call her Mo Money. She sells as much real estate as she wants. She's a mom and she's got other things going on. But I mean, she has a goal of 40 this year and she'll hit it. But I want to unpack something really quick. This just reminds me of a story. Guys, what we do here is really, really important. We get to help people with the biggest purchase and sale of their life every single day. Every single day, the biggest purchase or sale of their life. And if you take in the stuff that I'm teaching you today, you'll be able to stand up on a stage like this and share stories like I'm getting ready to share with about Morgan. Morgan came to our organization, zero real estate experience. I love her to death, sincerely. She has changed her family tree forever inside of our organization. Like, I got goosebumps. Changed it forever. She couldn't even hold a conversation with me in the interview. Struggled with communication. She always gets nervous. She brought her son to the interview. I don't know why. If she came in today, I probably wouldn't have hired her. At that time, I was desperate for agents, and I don't know. I wanted to help her. I got a big heart. I wanted to help her. But she plugged in. She leaned in. She did the work. For her first year, in Missouri, it gets cold in the winters. She didn't have heat in her car. She didn't tell anybody. She maxed out like 4 different credit cards. Maybe I'm adjusting the story. I don't know. But the point is, she didn't have money to put gas in her car to go to showings. What did she do? Did she make excuses? She found a way. She was living with her family in a house. Like, there was way too many siblings in one house. She had all these limiting things in her way. But because she plugged in, she leaned in, and she realized, I'm in control. I need to be around the right people, learning the right things. Her life for her and her son will never be the same ever again. That's how important this stuff is. I don't know where that came from. It just came over me. I wanted to share. This is one of my top producing agents. She does a lot of sphere stuff, but I mean, just look at those numbers. 24% conversation to appointment set rate. You think she's efficient? Look at her ratios all the way across the board. There's none less than 74%. What are your ratios? Oh, by the way, she's going to sell 60 homes this year. She's got 12 pendings right now. What are your efficiencies? Where are your gaps? You can't improve what you don't measure. I want to remind you, you are in control. Your skill and your will determine your success. You are not a product of the marketplace. You are better than that. There are people that are winning in today's marketplace. But they're looking at that shiny object called the mirror every single day and saying, what can I do to become better? You know, everyone says this market is hard. I just think that's bullshit. This market's not hard. This market is not hard. That is weak. And I think you're all better than that. You know what's hard? Not having the money to pay your electric bill. That's hard. I've been there. You know what's hard? Not taking your family on that vacation that you promised them. We'll go there one day. Oh, we can't do it again this year. That's hard. What about not having presents under the tree for your family at Christmas? That's hard. This market is not hard. There are hard things in life. But I believe we get to choose our hard. You know what's not hard? It's not hard to have 22-minute conversations per week. It's not hard. It's not hard to update your CRM every single day. It's not hard to update your pipeline once a week. It's not hard to host one open house per month. It's not hard to call every lead within the first 5 minutes. It's not hard to clear your smart list every day. It's not hard to show up present, positive, and prepared to team meetings, trainings, role plays. That's not hard. But that's what it takes to succeed. Adjust your expectations. Get rid of your entitlement. And choose your heart. Someone's going to win. Why not you? And why not now? That's all I've got. Thank you, guys.